B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A man suspected in a series of Central Florida crimes broke a beer bottle over his head and was shot by a sheriff's deputy who thought that the sound was a gunshot.
Not your day.
Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd said Saturday that deputies were trying to arrest the 27-year-old man when he stood up through the sunroof of a pickup truck holding a rifle in one hand and a bottle of Busch Light beer in the other. The sergeant, who was behind the suspect and wasn't able to see the bottle, heard the popping noise and thought the man had shot at his deputies. He fired one shot, hitting the man in the neck.
The man
was taken to a hospital with injuries that were thought to be life-threatening. No one else was injured in the Saturday morning shooting. The man, who was with a female companion, had stolen a red pickup truck, and that was from a supermarket parking lot in Winter Haven. A short time later, the pair went into a tire store and asked for an employee and asked for money. When there was no money, the man took a rifle from a duffel bag and pointed it at the employee, started looking around for money, but left when a customer arrived. Deputies began looking for the pair, spotted the red pickup truck. They were unsuccessful in using stop sticks, and the man tried to hit a deputy with the truck. As he continued, deputies were able to close in around him. The man put the rifle under his chin and told deputies that he'd told them to kill him. He then dropped from the sunroof out of sight for a moment, then stood up with a rifle in one hand and a Busch Light beer bottle in the other, smashed it against his own forehead, breaking the bottle, which, by the way, you have to really hit hard to break a bottle.
You could.
How he was able to do that to himself.
Without knocking himself out.
And how his body would allowed himself to do that, you know? So the deputy fired, striking the man, and they obviously took him to the hospital. So, wow.
He's had better days.
Talk about having better days. A severely disabled woman was found by police inside a car that had been in a tow yard for 9 days.
What? 9 days.
I have no idea how this woman survived. Maybe she had some water or something with her, but I'm not sure. Around 3:15 p.m. on February 14th, police responded to a report of a missing person. The reported person told police her severely disabled sister had not been seen since earlier in the month.
Wow.
An investigation revealed the woman was last seen February 5th when her mother parked her car at a gas station and walked off, leaving her daughter in the car. At the request of the gas station, the car was privately towed to Skyway Towing.
And no one noticed this person?
Bon Palza, who one of the gas station workers, said one of the gas station workers knocked on the car to make sure nobody was in it. My driver had done the same, and we thought we were clear. He's the manager of the tow company, by the way. Officers contacted Palza about prying open the car, and he said it was a discovery he will never forget. He said, in 30 years of towing, I've never seen anything like this. According to police, the woman had been in there for 9 days, alone in the tow yard, enduring near-freezing weather. The woman is severely disabled and likely wouldn't have been able to call out for help. She was taken to the hospital in serious condition, so I'll keep an eye out for a follow-up on that story.
That's why I keep loose pudding in my cup holder.
That's a good idea.
Smart. Yeah.
There is risky, and then there is insanely risky, and then there's breaking into the police station to rob the commanding officer's office, which is exactly what cops say happened in the Bronx. According to a senior police official, about 10 p.m. on Wednesday, personnel at the 52nd Precinct discovered Carlos Luciano inside their CO's office. He had apparently entered through a first-floor window, and he damaged the window in the process. On being discovered, an official said Luciano took off running through the station. He was captured on the first floor and taken into custody.
Whoops.
Where he was charged with burglary. I got to wonder if he knew where he was or not. I have no idea.
You would see all sorts of signs and things that might lead you to believe you shouldn't be there.
Yeah. All right, and then we'll do this story. A human hand and three placentas have been sent from a university in Brazil destined for an unorthodox fashion designer in Singapore in a case of suspected human organ trafficking.
A human hand and three placentas, and this is going to some sort of fashion thing.
Yeah, so the hand and placentas were plastinated, a common preservation method for museums and research, before being shipped from Amazonas State University in Brazil.
I could see using the placentas as clutches.
Police then carried out an anti-trafficking raid after receiving information about the possible trafficking of human remains, and a professor for the school's anatomy lab has been suspended. If found guilty, of international trafficking of human organs, he'll face up to 8 years in prison. Plastinization, by the way, is a modern technical process for preserving biological material. It removes bodily fluids and fats through chemical methods, substituting them for plastic resins like silicone, polyester, and epoxy, resulting in a dry, odorless, and durable tissue.
It's what Khloe Kardashian did to her face.
So it is thought that the remains were to be used by a famous Indonesian fashion designer for manufacturing accessories, clothing, with human material.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the designer...
Should be allowed to do that?
The designer, Arnold Putra, has come under fire in the past for designer accessories made of human remains after creating a bag made of ethically sourced human spines and alligator tongues, with some media outlets reporting the spine to be that of a child. Putra claimed that he had papers stating the parts were sourced from a medical surplus in Canada.
Wow. That's ghoulish.
All right, and then we'll do this one, and then we'll wrap. A Spanish company is pouring tens of millions of dollars into becoming the world's first commercial octopus farm in spite of mounting evidence that the creatures can feel pain and pleasure, never mind the environmental impacts of cephalopod farming.
Aren't they going to dry up in those open fields?
You would think so, right? So Nueva Pescanova is the company set to start farming octopi pending European Union approval, and it spotlights significant ethical and environmental concerns looming over the startup fishery that's already loaded about $74 million into its efforts. Octopi have been getting unprecedented attention in recent years, from the 2014 video of an octopus walking on land to the endless stream of footage showing octopi adorably and sometimes ferociously fighting with other aquatic animals and humans alike. These feisty creatures are beloved online and off, as evidence of Netflix's stunning uber-popular documentary My Octopus Teacher. Yet in spite of the overwhelming public and scientific acknowledgement of their intelligence, which led last year to the UK to legally declare them sentient, octopi fishing has boomed, with some analysts declaring it the fastest growing food production source globally.
They're very smart. You know, it'd be like having gorilla soup.
Naturally, overfishing octopi has become a major concern, hence the desire for octopus farms. So they are going to start up this octopus farm, and we'll see how that ends up going. So,
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
Are you aware of what your neighborhood looks like from the sky? You ever looked on, you know, on Google Maps or something
like
that?
I'd love to do that.
Well, residents of an English housing estate say that they were shocked to learn that they live in a phallic-shaped cul-de-sac after seeing satellite images on Google Maps. In addition, the cul-de-sac has a road coming off of its tip that makes it look as if it's urinating on the adjacent streets. I love that.
I'd be thrilled.
Yes, I would love this. This came to light as real estate prices are on the rise in the area, with some houses going for as much as about $203,000. Locals say that they never really took notice of the shape, but some social media users pointed it out and posted it. And one person wrote, "Town planners in Yorkshire didn't think anybody would notice, but we did." A 48-year-old woman from Burlington County has been indicted for punching an emergency room doctor. Shelley Webb of Brown Mills was indicted for aggravated assault. Police were called to Capitol Health for an assault on a physician by a patient. The investigation revealed that Webb came into the facility complaining of a migraine headache and believed that she may have been struck by lightning. She became belligerent upon being questioned.
"I believe I was killed by a bolt of lightning."
And when the doctor attempted to examine Webb's head, she lunged forward and punched her in the abdomen. She went there for help.
Yeah.
Thought she'd been struck by lightning, and then all of a sudden just freaks out and punches him. So,
do you want me to treat you for your lightning strike or what?
I mean, how can she slap? A pilot and a passenger were injured after a skydiving plane crashed just short of reaching the Oceanside Municipal Airport Thursday afternoon. The plane is from Go Jump Oceanside, a skydiving company. It was a Cessna 208B Caravan, which holds 9 to 13 passengers. The pilot and the passenger were transported to local hospitals. One patient was in critical condition and the other was in moderate condition. No other people reported on board. The plane came to rest with its nose on its nose with its tail in the air. I always have to ask the question.
Why didn't you jump?
Why didn't you jump out?
You got parachutes.
I'm curious as to, you know, because that happens enough to make you ask. There's got to be a reason.
You got the freaking parachutes.
Why they don't jump out? You're wearing a freaking parachute.
Freaking parachutes right in the plane. Oh, duh. Jump out, pull the cord, you're good to go.
Ask some skydivers that sometime.
Duh.
All right, here's another one of these. A man who was struggling to breathe was flabbergasted after Mount Sinai surgeons discovered a half-inch-long tooth growing inside his right nostril.
The nostril?
Yep. Yeah.
A nose tooth.
Yep.
I love it.
The unnamed 38-year-old New York man had reported to the doctor after experiencing breathing difficulties for several years. An examination revealed that the patient had a deviated septum as well as bone-like growths in the nose.
Imagine during a conference or one of our meetings, you know, it'd be obvious if you were eating something. But if you put the food up your nose.
Yeah. Like you're shoving, you know, pretzel sticks up your nose.
Right.
And slowly it's just disappearing bit by bit as you're going up in there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm chewing on this right now.
With my nose tooth.
So these complications were vexing as the patient didn't sport any visible facial trauma or abnormalities. In order to get to the roots of the problem, oral and maxillofacial surgeon Sagar Kunan and Michael Turner conducted a rhinoscopy, whereupon they discovered a hard, non-tender white mass poking up through the floor of the right nostril.
Yeah, it's a tooth, all right.
It was an incisor in the nose.
And they also found one testicle.
Specifically...
Nose nut.
What is that?
That's a nose nut.
Oh, okay.
That's why we didn't see the nose tooth.
Okay. The nose nut was in the way.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And once they moved the nose nut, they found the nose tooth.
It's like a store in there.
Yeah. Specifically, the man had a 15-millimeter ectopic tooth, which is...
one of the Transformers.
It's described as having a tooth in an abnormal place.
I will remind you that this is the second story of this nature you've had, I think, in about a month.
Yeah. Yeah. This condition is exceedingly rare and normally entails teeth sprouting up in the jawbone, under the gum, rather than in the nose.
It's like the worst vampire ever if the teeth...
Yeah.
When the teeth grow, they grow up into your nose.
It remains unclear what causes these interlopers, although in the past doctors have blamed trauma and infections along with a cleft palate or a split in the roof of the mouth since birth.
How would you floss such a tooth? Would you put it in one ear and
put the floss in one ear and pull it out the other one? Yeah. Thankfully, doctors were able to remove the patient's tooth via invasive intral nasal surgery sans any post-operative complications, per the report. And at a follow-up 3 months after the surgery, the patient's symptoms of nasal obstruction had resolved and he was okay.
You have a deviated septum, don't you?
I do,
I do as well.
And it causes problems, apparently, so,
yeah. I can't brush my nose teeth.
Oh, my God. Listen, you can't... I mean, I understand maybe not being able to floss, but not even brush?
No, it sucks.
Sorry to hear that. All right, in North Carolina, Anthony Spivey, the former Chadburn police chief who was the subject of a missing person search along the Lumber River this week, was arrested. This is a pretty complicated story. So according to Sheriff Jody Green, Spivey was located at his aunt's residence, an apartment complex he was trying to hide. He was in a creek behind the apartment when authorities spotted him. He ran from authorities and was taken into custody. His aunt, Brenda Rowley, disputes claims that she was harboring a fugitive. She said she didn't know her nephew had missed a court appearance earlier in the week. She had said that he had called her Sunday night saying he was having marriage problems and considering suicide. She told him not to kill himself and had him come stay. He had 40 outstanding warrants for failure to appear.
Outstanding.
Yeah, for a total bond of $1 million. And he's facing dozens of criminal charges after being arrested in 2021, accused of repeatedly raiding the police department's evidence room and stealing a variety of narcotics, thousands of dollars in cash, and firearms.
So he was an officer?
He was a sheriff.
Sheriff.
Dude. Yeah. And so in August, Spivey managed to post a $500,000 bond to get out of jail while awaiting trial on those charges. They feel that the bondsman, he was related to him and maybe helped him get out. So after bonding... He was arrested again, charged with stealing catalytic converters at an auto repair shop. The shop had hired him as a mechanic following his termination from the police force. He missed a court appearance earlier this month, telling court through his attorney that he didn't attend because he had COVID. That was a lie. And his attorney informed him that he was missing and may have taken his own life. So listen to this. Wildlife officers found an abandoned boat located in the Lumber River. They were told that he was last seen driving a truck from a location and that the boat belonged to him. Family members described the incident as a possible suicide. They had found handwritten letters at the scene.
Was that his intent, to make it look like he'd committed suicide?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
An elaborate attempt. They found a .22 caliber rifle with a discharged round still in it.
Uh-huh.
They concluded that the evidence collected did not support a suicide scenario, though. He was still missing, and so dive crews looked for him in the river. They couldn't find him in the wooded areas. They did sonar screening, aerial coverage, canine sniffing, all this stuff. Apparently they collected video, and it became more apparent that the scene on the river was staged.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a tip that he was hiding at his aunt's residence. And
what, did a duck rat him out?
A failure to appear order for his arrest, and they ended up finding him. They found him out hiding in the river, so.
So let me ask you a quick question. On the catalytic converter thing, and maybe I misunderstood this, are they, as part of that, they're turning the some of the substance of a catalytic converter into a drug?
Oh, I don't know about that. I think there's platinum. There's precious metals.
There's
in
precious
it.
Metals in it, but somebody told me that there's something there was that they a, can there actually
was a,
sniff.
There was a story. I think it was out of a different country. It might have been in Central America somewhere where they were starting to do it. But it is like you're going to die if you do the drug that is made from the catalytic convertibles. And I forgot. I keep saying convertibles. Converters. So I remember seeing something about that, Steve, but I don't know with how much certainty that is really being done or not, or if it was done in...
Imagine snorting catalytic converters.
Here you go. In the Congo.
Okay.
Nick found this.
Where all the great snorting comes from.
I mean, I'm not an advocate for this, but just do some cocaine, for crying out loud.
Yeah, yeah. It's obtained from crushing the ceramic honeycomb core of the converter.
Can you believe... When does that first occur to... It would have to occur to someone on coke.
Dude, there was a guy. There was a guy that we knew growing up that would huff Freon. Freon, your air conditioning stuff.
Okay,
dude.
I mean, stamp collecting's fun.
Right. Some people will go to great lengths to get some kind of buzz, man. All right, and there you go. That's what I got in the beef aisle for you.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.